It's time for Ask Dale Anything, the show that answers your most perplexing questions with profound answers from one of the top transformational teachers and leaders on the planet, Dale Holloway. I'm your host, Mickey Manning, Dale's left-hand person, as I like to call it, and I've never heard a question that he can't answer. He's been doing this for over 40 years now, and he truly has an answer that's profound and helpful on any topic. So with that, let's get into today's question.
All right, everyone, welcome back. We have an awesome question for Dale, but just a reminder before we get into that question that we have our best question bonus giveaway that is currently underway. So please send your best question in to askdale@askdaleanything.com. To AskDale at AskDaleAnything.com. That way you can get your question answered and be entered into a contest to win one of Dale Holloway's wonderful transformational courses that could impact and change your life for the better. So with that, let's get into our question. Dale, this question was emailed in from Aurelio in Utah. Aurelio says, so I've recently watched The Matrix movie because I know you always reference it when you're teaching or explaining something. And I definitely had an experience with it. I thought it was really profound, especially when Neo first wakes up and learns about The Matrix and basically that everything he knew was a lie. So I'd like just a bit more clarity comparing the movie to our current life. So my question is, how similar is The Matrix to what we're currently experiencing right now in the 3D? And like, are we really that asleep and shut down that we can't see what's really going on in the world? And if we saw it, we'd be disgusted? Or how exactly can you connect the movie with our human experience right now?
All right. Well, that's an awesome question, Aurelio. And there's probably three or four questions in that question. And so, Mickey, if by chance I don't get to all parts of the question at any point, please interject so I can ultimately respond to all parts or aspects of Aurelio's question here today.
Okay.
So The Matrix, yes, I've spoken about it many a times over the years. Mainly because there's so many incredible metaphors that can be directly applied to the journey of someone who's really in process of transforming themselves. Now, if we're not in process of transforming ourselves, then it's probably just going to be a great movie with some awesome special effects, especially back in the day when it first came out, as we heard from many people. You know, they were really blown away by the movie. And then there were a few people that the movie spoke to them. And it spoke to them because of these metaphors. And the analogies that we're drawing to someone that's a part of a larger system, known as the Matrix, is asleep to that system, known as the Matrix, or sometimes referred to as the collective conditioning on the planet. They're just asleep. But the problem is they don't know they're asleep. They're pretty much convinced that the way they're living their life, that that's exactly what life is really all about. And there's nothing more to it than that. And that's okay. They're having that experience for whatever their reasons are. And then alongside of that, are those who are either already on their transformational journey, where they genuinely are transforming themselves little by little, slowly but surely, at a cellular level, which also means they're waking up. And they're waking up to a couple different things here. And so one is they're ultimately waking up to who it is that they already really are. And that in itself is a process. That in itself at least I've never experienced where somebody pulls that off in a matter of a weekend. Because when you consider what's involved to do that, so in the movie The Matrix, you know, they take this profound storyline that was created that makes up the movie The Matrix, and they condense it down to about 2.5 hours long. Well, what often goes overlooked is that they're condensing a storyline that really goes over a period of years. It's the storyline that they're depicting up on, they're projecting up on the screen, it's 2.5 hours long. That 2.5 hours equates to a lot more time than 2.5 hours. Now, with each person, it's going to be a little different. There's no question about it. But nonetheless, once you're on this journey of both being woken up or in your own awakening, your own transformational experience at a cellular level, once that begins, then again, this is where these metaphors come into play. So, you know, at the beginning, around the whole idea of the red pill or the blue pill, right? And what are you now going to do? So if you think about people in their life where maybe they get an opportunity, now I'm going to apply it directly to our life, right? They get an opportunity as in it comes in the form of an invite to go to a seminar, to go and speak to a different kind of coach. It's an invite. And that invite, believe it or not, could be coming from a higher part of them through that other person or that other group, as in maybe the seminar. And so some people take the invite and they'll even say things like, I don't know what it is. I just know I'm to go. I just know I'm to go to this seminar. I just know I'm to go work for this person. I just know I'm to go and possibly have a conversation with this new coach or new mentor or new teacher. I just know, I can't explain it, right? So that's a direct application in our life. What's happening there is the higher part of us is very much involved now in orchestrating an event to take place. So just like the event in The Matrix, where there's an orchestration going on between Neo and Morpheus. And so, and we, the movie viewer, we get a real good inside shot to this orchestration. And I'm referring now to the orchestration that takes place between Neo and Morpheus prior to them actually having their first physical meeting. So if you go back and play the movie, you'll see this orchestration. Well, that's the orchestration that also happens in real life, where somehow, some way, the higher part of you, it becomes time. It becomes time for you to meet someone or come up with something, meet up with something, as in a seminar, as in a body of teachings, again, as in a coach, a teacher, a mentor, a guide. You get the idea from here that when you meet with whatever that is or whoever that is, you're probably going to recognize it rather quickly, because something's going to go off inside of you. And it's going to go off inside of you because it's already been orchestrated. This is not you orchestrating the meeting that you put on your day timer that day. This is not of all your own doing at the level of your personality or ego. And so very similar to The Matrix. So then, of course, in that, Morpheus offers the red pill and the blue pill upon their first meeting. And he describes very concisely that the red pill, this is what's going to kind of happen. And the blue pill, basically, you can just go back into Wonderland, so to speak, go back to sleep, go back and live in your fantasy, which also means go back and live in the Matrix, the lower Matrix, and basically stay asleep and forget that this conversation even took place. That would probably be better served for you. So we're going to erase your memory from this conversation even taking place. So you completely forget that you were even invited to come on to this journey of transforming yourself, being awoken again to who it is that you already really are. And whoever it is that your family with, that's another piece that shows in The Matrix as well, right? Who's your family, as in your real family? Who is your real family? Now, your real family could be your birth family. That could very well be true. And then again, it might not be true. Your real family might be someone else that you haven't even met yet, or maybe you met 2 years ago and you knew when you met, no, this is family. This is family. Maybe didn't have that exact word, but there was a resonance there. Just like there was a resonance with Neil and Trinity. Just like there was a resonance with Neil and some of the other support people in the support team that were part of that core group. That's soul family again, right? So that's another way to apply it. Then the other dynamic is he's being woken up, not just to himself, but as he's being woken up to himself, you can see his challenges. You can see the issues that activate one right after another, where he really can't see himself. And even when he starts to get a glimpse of himself, he doesn't believe that's him. So the movie's articulating through these profound metaphors and analogies in terms of telling the story of what somebody that's true to that of their transformation and stays true to their transformation goes through. Maybe not exact to our experience that we see Neo go through, but somewhat similar. Then there's the other piece where Neo is being woken up to his environment, his external environment. That would be that lower matrix, right? So in our world, that would be the powers that be. That would be the collective conditioning that we all enter into. The moment you, actually even prior to you taking your first breath, you start to strike this. There's no way to avoid this at all. Now you at soul level, you already knew this and you know this. In terms of your mind and your ego and your personality, you might not know it, but at soul level, you clearly know this. And that's why when you get around the teacher that's most right for you, or the coach that's most right for you, or the mentor that's most right for you, and he or she starts speaking, it starts resonating because they're already speaking what it is that's inside of you. And so it's that law of resonance now that comes into play. So, but here in this 3D world, where the lower matrix, at least up until now, has gotten full reign. So just like in the movie, the matrix, in the movie, you can see it has full reign over the people. And again, the people don't even know. They don't even know that they're actually being influenced. They don't know that they're potentially being controlled. They don't know that until you start to know. And so that's also an equal part of the awakening. It's not just waking up to who it is that we really are. It's also waking up to the I sometimes call them the unpleasant truths, or even the ugly truths, the hidden truths, right? That are here in this 3D world, even in your own 3D world, personally speaking. So that's another equal part of this process. And while that's all going on, the matrix, so to speak, can still play havoc with you until you're fully awake, until you become completely unplugged. At any point, that matrix can play havoc with you. At any point, that lower matrix or the dark forces, whatever name you want to give it, it really doesn't matter. You know what I'm talking about, I'm sure, right? It starts to play havoc with you. And if it doesn't want you to continue on going to those classes, if it doesn't want you to continue to embody these teachings, if it doesn't want you to continue to be a part of your soul family, if it doesn't want you to continue your service to your teacher, your mentor, your employer, your friend, or even your new partner or old partner or whatever that might be, it can get in there. It can not only play havoc directly with you, it can grab somebody you know and start playing havoc with them as a way to create a distraction for you so that you go off course. All of these things are possible. Just like you see in the movie The Matrix, you see some really unique areas in how this sort of thing can happen. So you might remember the scene where the meeting now has been scheduled with the Oracle for Neo. Now this is a big, big moment along his storyline. And and he's all a little bit worked up around this meeting because the Oracle is considered to be like the sage now, the mystic, the one, the all-knower, can see into things beyond the physical vision and so on. And so, you know, he's a little nervous about this meeting. On the other hand, his teacher mentor knows the meeting now needs to happen. It's now time. And that whatever happens with his meeting with the Oracle is absolutely perfect. It's exactly, and his words were, exactly what Neil needed to hear, not what the Oracle had to share with him. Another profound piece in the movie, right? And I see this play out over and over and over again with people that I work with, that I serve, that I assist along their journeys, is that they mix it up. They mess it up because they're operating still through a faulty perception. In other words, how they're perceiving their world is not correct. But we also see that with Neo. There's a point where Neo has a collapse. He breaks down. His perception is so faulty that he starts to turn on Morpheus. He starts to turn on Trinity. He starts to turn on his own soul family. It's all part of the process. So anyhow, so he gets to the meeting with the Oracle, and in doing so, now the Oracle is going to tell him, and here's the key, the Oracle is going to tell him what he needs to hear. Not necessarily the whole truth, it's what he needs to hear, because a true mystic can see this person's not ready for the greater truth, even though the whole meeting's been set up so you can find out what the greater truth is. But if you're not ready, you're not ready. If you're still in your own fight, if you're still in, you know, again, now in terminology of even like my book, Being Called to Change, where I talk about unconscious resistance. If you're still in your own unconscious resistance, you're not ready. So now if you've got a really good teacher, a true authentic teacher in your corner, he or she will spot it. They will spot it many times before you even spot it. So therefore, they can continue to be of great service to you. So even though they maybe know something that you don't yet know, they also know when to tell you that, when to share that with you. And just like the Oracle knew a lot about Neil, as you can well imagine, but she didn't spill all the beans. That would have been completely fruitless and non-productive and even counterproductive. Might have even been destructive, because you can see with the little bit that she shared with him, the reaction that he had, the experience that he has after the reading with the Oracle. So this whole element of readiness shows up as a metaphor continuously throughout the movie, just like it does in our lives. In our lives, when this idea of, we need to be ready. You need to be ready for the next serving. And if you're not ready for the next serving, then you're just not ready. Now, a weaker teacher will probably try to drown you in information, and they'll overwhelm your system. And it happens all the time. So, but coming back to coming into the meeting with the Oracle, that very first meeting, if you remember when they came back from the meeting, what then happens? They go back into that, because they're going to their portal. They're going to the portal. They're going to that place in the city where they're now going to be transported back to the ship that they are currently living in. So they're completely in the matrix now, but now they're going to pull themselves out of the matrix. But as they go back to the building where their entry point is to return back to their ship, what happens? Neo happens to see something that's kind of unusual. What does he see? Mickey, do you remember what he saw?
He saw the glitch, the two cats.
The two cats.
Yep.
That, now, he didn't recognize it right away as a glitch because he wasn't that far enough along just yet. But it got his attention.
Right.
Like, what the heck's going on here? The two cats. So right away, he reports it to his soul family, and more specifically to Morpheus. And as soon as he reports it to Morpheus, Morpheus knows right away what it is, like that quick. There's no guesswork here. Morpheus knows exactly. And Morpheus steps into gear and he gets the team into gear. Well, of course, for those of you who watch the movie, you know what happens from there. And so, but in life, when we look at life, the same thing can happen. Where to apply it now, where all of a sudden there's a glitch in your own matrix, where something happens in your world that you notice and it stands out like almost like a sore thumb. It's like, that doesn't belong here. Like, what is that? Well, what that is you're getting an advance warning that something is coming, and that something that's coming is going to play havoc in your world. So that something could be a relationship with somebody that's going to look like a sheep, but they're really disguised, because behind those sheep clothing, or behind that sheep clothing, they're really a wolf. And they're coming in. That's that lower matrix, if you will, the lower energy of the matrix. They're coming in specifically. Now, are they fully conscious of this? Probably not. But they're coming in specifically to create that glitch, to literally throw a monkey wrench into our life. And if you don't catch it, then the odds are they're going to be fully successful in implanting that monkey wrench into your life, which then is going to kind of turn us upside down. And now we're kind of tumbling down the hill, and we're spinning out of control. Like, what the heck just happened? I didn't see that coming. I thought, you know, he was my knight in shining armor. I thought she was the princesses of all princess on the planet. And it turns out, no, she just put up a good front because she's good at that. It just turned out that he put up a good front because he's good at that as well. Again, there are those types of people on the planet that, and they might have some consciousness around this. In all fairness to them, I don't think they have a lot of consciousness when these sorts of things play out, because they too are being influenced. They're still in the matrix.
Right.
They're still in the matrix. So, and when we're still in that matrix and we haven't been fully unplugged yet, then we can be utilized. Just like our ego, at any point, our ego can literally pull out a trick from under its sleeve again and trick us into believing that something's going on that's absolutely right for us. And then we step into it, and 3 months later, we're like, how the heck did we get here? this messed up my life a little bit, you know? Right. And Mickey, you know, because we've seen this a few times now, even with people, you know, where they'll, for example, like basically sabotage a job that they currently have, thinking that there's a better job, you know, that old saying that the pasture is greener on the other side of the fence kind of thing. And next thing you know, they're going to go for the other job on the other side of the fence. And 4 months later, it's like, how did this happen? Oh, I didn't see this coming, but now they've gone ahead and they've lost the job that was actually a good job for them.
Right.
And now it's almost impossible for them to turn back the clock.
Yeah,
but that's part of that havoc. That's part of that monkey wrench, that, you know, that energy of the matrix, the lower part of the matrix. And when I use the word lower matrix, there's also an upper matrix too, as well. So that's why I'm defining it that way. So anyhow, I'll stop there. Mickey, if you have something to say, or if there's another part of the question for me to respond to, I'd be happy to do so as well.
Yeah, you know, just when you were saying that, I was thinking about my own transformation and my comparison that I had with the matrix. And I want to share this because I would love for you to speak to this. I know you're going to remember it well, but if you recall, about 6 months into my own transformation, I had created so many ugly truths in my life, but I had blocked myself out to them. So I couldn't see how much my life wasn't working. And in fact, I actually was physically ill. And the entertainment business that I was in was really hurting me, not helping. And I was so hooked into it, though, that it was hard for me to pull out. And I remember as I'm waking up to these ugly truths that you were speaking of earlier in my own life, and the things that I'd been hiding from the reality of, because they were just like really painful and hard to look at. And I compared myself to the guy in the Matrix who was like the informant, you remember? He was working with the agents, and he said, you know, I just want you to put me back in. I just want to forget. And I was making jokes about that because it was like the truth sucked. I mean, it sucked. And it was so hard for me to look at the mess my life was. I was like in Pollyannaville denying it all. So as I was waking up to this in my own personal matrix, you know, I wanted to forget. And so I'm glad I stuck it out. You know, there were so many things that weren't working. I'm much healthier now. I'm in such a better place. And, you know, this has been a few years on this path with you and this work to get here. But I was just thinking about where I was at then. And for the people that are in that same position that find themselves like they've woken up to this because they, you know, they thought they were ready. They're waking up, they're transforming. And then suddenly all these things are trying to pull them back in, even though they're not right for them, or, you know, in fact, they're going to hurt them, and they know they need to change their life. You know, what do you have to say to someone like that, who is kind of where I was at, where it was really hard to wake up, even though it was the right thing to do?
Yeah, it's, and it most certainly can be for, quite frankly, most people, especially, well, there's a couple parts of one's journey and where it shows up, meaning it can show up in the beginning part of your journey. So in other words, when you've been called up by that of your own higher self, you've been called up, and that whole orchestration now is occurring. And it's occurring where you don't even see the orchestration, just like with the orchestration with Neo and Morpheus coming into that first physical meeting. And so something similar here. And then when the meeting actually occurs, and then you get underway, so it can show up, in your case, it showed up within the first 6 months, where it becomes just really intense, because what's happening those first 6 months, you're in your own process of being cracked open. And for some, they will abandon the path. It just becomes too hot, too intense. Their old ways are still really planted in them, which means the matrix, the lower part of the matrix, really still has them under its control. And only they don't know that they're actually being controlled or under another influence that's even beyond themselves that they are a part of. And so, but their old patterning that they completely identify with or are so associating with to that of themselves, they think that's who they are. They think that's where all their safety exists. They think that's where the realness of life, the authenticity of life exists. And of course, it doesn't exist there, because what's actually happening, the person's starting to crack open. And more specifically, when we're starting to crack open, it's like I take a pretty deep dive into this in one of our courses, The Greater Self Awakening, where in one of the modules in that course is where I talk about the truth shall set you free. But I just don't say that off the tip of my tongue, the truth shall set me free. I mean, we've all heard that before, and yet very few people even know what it is, let alone putting it into practical application and getting a rich benefit out of it, right? And so this whole module is designed to do just that, to take you much deeper into that teaching, but then more specifically, how do you apply it into your day-to-day world where it's going to make the biggest difference for you? And so I go through I teach on these different types of truth. So there's different levels of truth. And on the baseline, there's the hidden truth. They're all hidden to some degree until you become aware of them. But on this, the very first type of truth, they're what I call the unpleasant truths, the ugly truths. They're tough. They're tough. And so once you're in that phase of being cracked open, so such as your experience, Mickey, back then, so the cracking open was now beginning. And because we're in the cracking open phase, the first thing that's going to come to the surface is those uglier truths. Well, when you're in the matrix, the lower matrix, and you're still asleep, the last thing you want to see are the ugly truths that are going on in your day-to-day world. Nobody wants to see this stuff. In fact, everybody, believe it or not, again, going back to unconscious resistance, they're in unconscious resistance, meaning they're not even aware that they're actually resisting any of this stuff. So therefore, they never actually look, they never go face to face with these unpleasant truths, these ugly truths. And so when that process begins, so sometimes it happens 6 months in from the time when you actually start your transformational journey, or maybe it's 12 months in, 18 months in. Everybody's going to be a little different here. But when it begins, that's what starts to happen. You, for the first time, maybe in years, you're actually looking at the uglier parts of your life. And then even then, you're only looking at a small portion of the uglier parts of your life. And that in itself sometimes can overwhelm this person's system and cause them to want to default back to their old patterns. So let's say they're into drugs or alcohol or cigarettes or sugar or whatever it might be. They're going to go back to those patterns so quick and it'll make everybody's head spin. It's like they can't stop themselves because those patterns were there to keep them unconscious, to keep them asleep to that of these unpleasant truths, because the more unpleasant, uglier truths that we create or manifest in our world, even though we might not be aware of them, every one of these unpleasant truths carries a pocket of energy. And that pocket of energy is now going to contribute to the overall, whatever it is we're manifesting in our day-to-day life. It's another trick of the lower matrix. It's actually another trick of your own ego, quite frankly, is to get you to start creating these unpleasant, unhealthy truths, to bury them somewhere in your consciousness where you completely go to sleep and you're not even aware they're even there anymore. And again, these are the uglier parts of our life that we just don't want to face. And then we've forgotten about. We've forgotten about, and then perhaps we use some kind of a lower energy pattern or habit as a way to cover all that up, sweep it under the carpet, as we say, and keep it under the carpet so we never see it. So now you're on your journey and you're 6 or 9 months in and you're just in that first stage of just being slightly cracked open. First thing that happens is one of your ugly truths just bam, it comes right to the surface. I've just spent the last 18 years of my life hiding this from myself. I don't want to see this.
Right?
Right? And now whatever the drug of your choice is, that's more than likely where you're going next. It's like that quick. That quick. Well, in that, now you're kind of in your own internal wrestling match around, you can either go back to that old way of living. So if we look at Neo now, where there's a part in the movie where you get to see this, where he's now in conflict, in deep, deep, incredible conflict around this idea. You know what? I think you guys all out here, Morpheus and Trinity and the whole group of you, I think you're all crazy. I think you've all lost your mind. I'm going back to what here's the key. I'm going back to what I know is real. I'm going back to what I know I can count on. Count on what? Your ugly truth. And so, but then once you have your first couple of experiences of actually confronting in a conscious and responsible way of that ugly truth, once that actually starts to occur, and then you have a new strategy or a new body of teaching that's designed to empower you to both confront that ugly truth, but also to confront it in a way where it becomes very empowering for you. In other words, you heal up that ugly truth, you learn something from that ugly truth of value to you, and you change something about yourself for the better as a result of that ugly truth. When that happens, now that's when you get a victory. And when you get that first victory, that's almost like nirvana. It's like a real high. It's like somebody just pumped you with a drug, even though nobody's pumped you with a drug. It can feel that amazing because it releases something positive from within your system. And what it's now releasing, remember that higher part of you or that truer part of you, the real part of you, that's where the release starts to occur of an aspect, not the whole, but an aspect. It could even be just a sliver. It's a sliver of the real you. That's why you have that nirvana-like experience or that higher-like experience, because you're experiencing a piece of your own highest self here in the now, in that of your own physical vessel.
Those victories make all the difference too. I know that it was like the crabs in the barrel too, trying to pull me back into like how they liked me, even though it was not good for me. And yeah, after a few victories, it was a lot easier. And you know, my favorite quotes of yours comes to mind: waking up isn't easy in a world that's designed to keep you asleep.
Yes. Yeah.
Great quote.
Yes. Yeah, it is, if I don't say so myself.
I kept remembering that too during that time because it was just, it wasn't easy, you know? I mean, so many people didn't want me to change. They liked the old me, even though it was like an unhealthy, broken me that was literally dying. Yeah. But they didn't want to see that me go. And I thank God it did, or as you and I both talked about this, I wouldn't be alive now, most likely, you know? Or I would be extremely sick and possibly hospitalized, who knows? But, you know, it's hard for other people to let go of that you that's flawed and broken too, and they try to hold on to that part of you. They make it hard for you too, don't they?
Well, yeah, that's a good point, Mickey. And they can, there's no question about it. But then to also just understand why they make it so hard for us. And that is because they haven't yet chosen to wake up. They haven't yet chosen to get on their own transformational journey. Or maybe they started, but then they got stuck, which is another trick. It's another trap along everybody's pathway. I've worked with a lot of people here, and I would say almost everyone, if not everyone, has also gotten stuck on their journey. So even though they get started, then there's the possibility that they get stuck or they get snafu'd. And then they might stay there for weeks or months or even years, or maybe even for the rest of their life. That's always a possibility. And so it could be one of those too, one of those types of people that they got started, then something happened that activated within them or within their own life that was just kind of overwhelming to them. They really didn't want to look at it. They really didn't want to confront it, or maybe just weren't ready to confront it, I suppose. But nonetheless, they then get stuck in that, they get snafu'd, and so they now they actually stop their process. So at that place, if this happens to be one of your friends, and now you've recently got on the journey, and you're now getting victories, and you're beginning to move forward and onward and upward, that could be a little scary for this person all of a sudden now, because they're not only stuck, problem is they're not aware that they're stuck. And because they're not aware that they're stuck, they're going to, again, to understand them more, they're going to project some of that onto you. And the moment they start doing that, they're going to see danger for you. And even though you're not in any kind of a dangerous place, but they've projected that onto you. And so now they're going to try to convince you to stop this nonsense. So they're going to pull you back, like the crabs do in a crab tray when a crab is attempting to, you know, exit the crab tray. Very similar. Now, while they're doing that, they're going to be completely justified in their mind that they are doing the right thing. They're actually helping you. Right. They're saving you from something. And what they don't realize is what's really going on, in at least in this example, they've gotten stuck along their own journey. They're not aware of it. And so now they're projecting that onto somebody else. And as always, when you get stuck, think of like when you're constipated, right? Most people can go through a couple of days being constipated before it starts to become uncomfortable. But if you're physically constipated for 5 or 7 days, at some point it's going to get really uncomfortable. And so again, the person's stuck, or at least their system, their physical system is stuck. It's not working properly. It's stuck, it's blocked. And if they stay in that place long enough, then not only does it continue to be uncomfortable or even painful, but then there's a possibility something else now happens. But while this is all going on, they've temporarily lost consciousness to somehow, some way, they got snafu'd onto something. Somehow, some way, they got stuck onto something. And for the life of them, they have no idea what they got stuck on. And so now anybody can unstick themselves. Proven this over and over again in my work with others. But one of the things you got to do is you got to be able to identify where it is you got stuck, and more specifically, what is it that you actually got stuck on? And until you do that, you're not going to be able to jar this loose. Once you do that, now the odds have been increased dramatically that this will start to jar loose. And then more than likely, you know, you'll end up making a couple more discoveries about that. And then eventually you become free of it again. So in other words, now you're no longer stuck, you're no longer snafu'd, you're back on your journey. So if it's just your physical body and you were dealing with physical constipation, and you identify where the block was inside your body, and you deal with that, you clear that up, then all of a sudden your body starts to work again. And within a couple of days, you start feeling better again, because now you're moving forward, or at least the body is functioning at a better level, at a healthier level again.
So fascinating. You know, Dale, I have to say, the Matrix is another one of those topics that we could literally talk about all day long.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, TJ and I were talking, and he said, how cool would it be if we had Dale narrate? So we watch the movie, but then we have you actually go through and talk about each metaphor as we went through the movie. I think we would have a full house just to have that experience.
Yeah, that's actually a great thing. And I've done that before with my our super advanced transformational classes, like Core Power, for example.
Oh, really?
I haven't done for a while. And I call it movie night, but a kind of movie night like you've never experienced before.
I'm so, down for that.
I mean, and when I say you've never experienced those types of movie nights before, you literally, I've had no one ever say to me, now, that reminded me of another time when I was watching a movie. Nobody ever says that. Rather, they say things like, holy cow, I want it. This, if everybody was just literally doing this around just taking in this type of a movie. And, you know, we create the surroundings. I do all kinds of just really neat things to further support this experience that can take us even deeper into the truth. Into the truth. So, you know, again, going back to Morpheus, you know, around the red pill or the blue pill, you know, you get to choose now. You take the red pill, I'm going to show you how deep this rabbit hole really does go. If you take the blue pill, you're basically going to go back into Wonderland. You're going to fall asleep. You're going to forget this conversation even took place. And you're going to continue on living your life exactly the way you were living it. And you'll keep on getting more of whatever it was you were already getting. One more thing. Did you choose to take that red pill? All I'm going to do is I'm going to keep on showing you the truth. Now, you might not like what you're seeing. Going back to those different types of truths, right? Because at least those first two levels, those first two types of truths, I've watched, actually even the highest level, I've watched people just resist that as well because of what it implies. And even though the highest level would be really in alignment with your higher, greater self, but what it implies, and what it implies is change. And it might be a specific change that you have not wanted to make. You've been in your own resistance around making for, I don't know, maybe the last 3.5 years. And so here you are now. I don't want to know that truth because it implies I'm going to have to finally deal with this change that's been knocking on my door over and over and over again to change this relationship, to change this job, to change this whatever. But I don't want to change it because it implies I'm possibly going to lose something, or I'm afraid of losing something, or whatever it might be. With each individual, it's going to be a little bit different. But nonetheless, even at the highest levels of truth, I've experienced people go into their own internal battle, in their own resistance around this, because again, of what those truths will often imply.
Okay, now Dale, you do realize that we're going to have people writing and calling us wanting to know when the Dale Holloway movie night is. We have to do this now at some point. So, and take a trip to Egypt, and let's see what else.
Yeah. Well, and all those are possibilities. I don't know about Egypt in current time, just because of what's going on there. But yeah, there are other sacred places on the planet that I'm also very aware of. That, you know, that, and even the movie night. In fact, just even talking about this, a couple ideas came to me in terms of what we might be able to do.
Ooh.
Invite more people to come in and further or deepen their experience.
Woohoo! All right, everybody, you heard it right here. Look, see what you have to look forward to. Well, Dale, this has been an absolutely awesome topic, and I have a feeling we'll revisit this again. This movie and this theme come up often with us, I've noticed.
Yeah, well, you know, it's, for me, as you know, I interpret dreams and have been for most of my life. And so, you know, for me, it's so natural and easy for me to do. So I can take anything in life, whatever it is, and really break it down in a way that just makes a lot of good sense for people, and in a way that's helpful to them, because all of a sudden they start connecting to something inside themselves. And that's the whole reason why I even do this, is helping people to get connected to something that's going on inside themselves that they're now ready to get connected with. Because once they start to connect, once they begin to connect with whatever that is, as you now know, Mickey, it's like the light bulb gets turned back on again inside of you. It really is transformation can be scary. It can be challenging. It can be intense. It can also be immensely rewarding, immensely fulfilling, because of what you're discovering along your journey about yourself and your own relationship to God, to the universe, to spirit, to your life in general, to those that you really genuinely care about, and so on. So,
very true. It can be very exciting too.
Yes. Big time. So big time.
Well, thank you so much for this whole journey into the Matrix and the comparison to everyday life. And thank you, Aurelio, for the awesome questions.
Yeah, that was a good one, Aurelio. Really good one.
Absolutely. And everybody, hey, remember.
A fun one, actually.
It was a fun one. I agree.
That was a fun one, actually. That's a better word. That was fun.
Very cool. Well, hey, everybody, remember that you can send your question in to be answered by Dale. And you can also be entered into the best question bonus giveaway. So please send your questions to askdale@askdaleanything.com. All right. Thanks so much, Dale. That's it for today.
Awesome. Stay well, everyone.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. And if you found Dale's teachings helpful and you want to get more of them, then you might really like his free ebook that we have for you, 12 Simple Ways to Change Your Life in 30 Days. You can download it for free at dellhalloway.com/practices. That's dellhalloway.com/practices. In it, you'll find 12 simple ways explained to you in exact step-by-step fashion that will cause your life to move forward in the next month. Simply choose one of the practices, any one of them, do it for 30 days straight, and you'll see a new you begin to manifest. I am not kidding. Download your free copy today at dalehalloway.com/practices. Oh, and by the way, if you know anybody who might find this content helpful, please share it with them. Thanks so much, and I'll talk to you next time.